Well, good morning, Life Point Church. Good to see you here today. If you're new with us, this is your first time, or you haven't been here in a while, welcome. Well, we're really glad to have you here. My name is Lee, if we haven't met, and I serve as a teaching pastor here at Life Point Plain City, and really excited to have you here. I want to let you know, on the seat back in front of you, there is a little QR code that you can scan with your phone. This can be really helpful for you if you are new with us. It'll take you to a website called lpguest.com. And there are several helpful resources there. One of those is the message notes. If you like taking notes and jotting those down, and then you can email those to yourself, that can be great to use as well. There is a connection card. So if this is your first time, or you haven't filled one of those out yet and you've been new with us, it would be wonderful. We take just a few moments to do that. One, it lets us know how you heard about us, which is really helpful. But two, there are some ministries at the very bottom that are doing really amazing work here in Plain City and in Central Ohio. And you can choose the one that maybe connects with you, and then we'll make an extra $5 donation to that ministry on your behalf just by filling that out. So thank you for doing that. Really, really appreciate that. We are right in the middle of our series this summer called Practicing, the Art of Becoming More Like Jesus. I don't know if you know this, but we're all kind of becoming like someone else. I think I opened up this series looking at those fun little progressive commercials, right, that you can't help from becoming like your parents. And I know many of us, we look at and we see that we're becoming like our family. We look like them. We start to act like them. We have our own mannerisms of them and that kind of stuff. And so as followers of Jesus, though, the person we want to become more and more like is Jesus. Now, that we want our lives to look more and more like Christ. That when people look at you, they start to see more of Jesus. They start to see Christ through you as you are trying to look like him. And so both in how you act and how you live and the way you carry yourself and what you live your life for. And so if a question for us as Christians, which I don't know if you know that word, what that word really means. It showed up in Acts at Antioch that they became the Christians were first known as Christians. Excuse me, followers of Jesus were first called Christians. It just means little Christ. Now, Christian just means little Christ. People that are meant to be, we're like many Jesuses in a way here on earth. And so how do we do that? Well, this series is meant to show what are some of the habits and rhythms of the life of Jesus that we can begin to incorporate in our lives. And as we do that, what it can begin to do is it starts to form and to shape us. If you've ever had like a workout routine, right? You've ever gone to the gym or a running regimen, right? There are certain things, disciplines that you will incorporate that start to form and shape you in certain ways, right? Like if you're training for a marathon, right? You start off with low mileage, right? That are hopefully as you build up, it builds you to where it shapes you to where you can run for longer distances, right? If you're working out and trying to develop more strength or more core, right? Some of the things that you will do are meant to form and shape you in certain ways. And so as Christians, what are these habits and disciplines that would form us more and more to the image of Jesus? What would those look like? So that's what we're looking at this summer. We're looking at things like how we can study the Bible, like dig in and really begin to meditate on the Word. We looked at Psalm 1. Tucker read that for us earlier and how we can begin to let God's Word begin to nourish us. We looked at things like generosity and in prayer. And today we're going to talk about fasting. And so I have never heard a sermon or message on fasting, and so I get to hear mine first. So anyways, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard much about it. I've heard it mentioned and referenced, right? If you're going through the Bible, you read it, right? And you may see at different times praying and fasting usually working together. And so we're going to kind of look at today, really, what is it? Why is it important in our lives, like as followers of Jesus? Why might that be something that's helpful for us? And really, what's the goal of it? In the end of it. And so really, as we talk about in this series, practicing, kind of the big idea that I've been sharing every week is that in order for us to become like Jesus, it requires us to practice the life of Jesus, right? And so if we want to begin to look more and more like him, and maybe the question is, why would we want to be like Jesus? I like me. Well, Jesus was perfect. I don't know about you, but I would want to strive to try to be like somebody who was perfect. And now that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, but what that begins to do is there are some things in you that he begins to refine in you. Some of the things about you that aren't like him, he starts to chisel away. It's why the first week we looked at John 15 and being the vine and the branches and how as followers of Jesus, we want to abide or remain or stay connected to him. And as we do that, fruit shows up in our lives. But what Jesus wants from you and from me is for us to be the most fruitful. He wants the most fruit to show out of our lives to bless and to benefit others. In order for that to happen, though, he has to prune us. He has to cut away things in our lives that maybe take away from that growth and that health in our spiritual maturity. And fasting can be one of those things that begins to prune us and shape us in that. And so that's what we're going to see. We're going to see discipline of fasting, what that will look like. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So if you got a Bible, you can go ahead and open up and head there. We'll have the verses on the screen as well. But fasting, it just got me thinking about, like, fasting generally, when we talk about it, it's not eating. And so to fast is to not consume food. It's to not eat. And so in talking about that, it's this idea that we're denying ourselves something. Denying ourselves something that our body wants, something that our physical cravings desire. And so, but we're doing that because we're wanting something better. We're wanting something else to grow in us. And so as I thought about this, I thought, what have been the times in my life? Because if I'm just being honest with you, I've probably fasted a couple of times in my Christian life. It's not been a habit of mine at all. And so in looking at this, what might this look like, or how can I compare this in some different ways? But there have been seasons in my life where I didn't do things, where I denied or didn't do things or made sacrifices because I wanted something more in my life. And I think about that, like, one, I go back to high school, and I think about when I was an athlete and thinking about wanting to be a collegiate athlete. It was a big ambition of mine. And so really what that meant is that if I was going to go through these disciplines of trying to work out and run and to study and to learn and to be the best I could at something, it meant that I couldn't do everything. There were some things in my life that I would have to not do. I don't know what free time is, right? And so it was just like when I was, finished up with school, I would work out for hours, or I'd watch film, or I would do agility, or do all these different kinds of things. And then it would be like eat, do homework, go to sleep, wake up, do it all over again. And so just kind of going through these habits. And so there were things that I just knew that I wasn't going to be able to participate in. Social life, I didn't have very many friends. I didn't, party. I didn't do those kinds of things when I was in high school. All that changed when I got to college. And so that began to be a different kind of regimen in my life. But I began to learn that if I wanted something, that I had to make sacrifices in order to get that. And you know this to be true in your life, right? If there's something that you care about or you want or you desire in your life, I'm guessing there were some sacrifices that came with that, right? And so perhaps it was maybe to go to a certain school. You realize it was going to require some sacrifice, whether it's financial, whether it was, hey, I was going to have to work in order to make this happen, or whether I've got this business or dream that I want to do. It's going to require that there are some things that I just can't do because I want this more in my life. And so if we were to break fasting down, that's really kind of at the core what fasting is. It's denying ourselves something so we could have something better. And thinking about it from a biblical fast, of thinking about it from what Jesus is going to show us here, is that Jesus teaches us that fasting is hungering for God more than hungering for food. That when we think about the reason why we fast, it's we're not eating. And I don't know about you, when I don't eat, I get hungry. I even get grumpy. And my stomach, right, it starts to go crazy. And my body starts to hurt. And I feel like, oh my, like, I'm going to throw this out there. It might be the hardest spiritual discipline to do. It might be the most difficult one to do. It's definitely the one that if you do it every day for the rest of your life, it'll kill you. And so you should eat food. Don't do that for, deny yourself food for a very, 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 very long time. It's not very wise to do that. But it's really hard to do that. Really hard to not eat food. If you've ever had to cut weight, right? Wrestling, right? Like, it's hard, right? Like you're really like putting some things on your body to try to do something. And so, but really what fasting is trying to get us to do is to show us that in the way that your body hungers for food, what would it look like for your soul, for the core of who you are, to have those same kinds of desires and cravings for the Lord? How can we crave Him more? How can we desire more of God and less of the things of this world? That's really at the essence of fasting. So what we're going to see is in Matthew 6 is this practice of fasting. There's a problem that can come with fasting, and really what's the point of fasting that's there. And so let's go ahead. Let's look at Matthew 6. Hopefully you got your Bibles and you've been able to turn there and flip on your screen and get there. But let's look at verse 16, the practice of fasting. We'll start off with the first four words. And when you fast, and when you fast. We'll go from there. The reason why I wanted to start there is you see in Jesus, he says when you fast. He didn't say if you fast, because you fast, or one day. It kind of, there, in essence, the language that he's using there seems to be a little bit of an expectation that his followers would fast. Now, fasting isn't commanded in the Bible. It's not like thou shalt not murder or, you know, commit adultery, thou shalt fast. It's not a command that we see given, but there does seem to be this expectation that followers of Jesus would fast, and so that there'd be a practice that would show up here. And so really what we kind of see here is that while Jesus doesn't command his followers to fast, he does seem to expect it. And really this comes out of because fasting, this not eating food, had been a practice of God's people for generations. While the one place in particular that it's most notably commanded is around the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. So there were several feasts and festivals that the people of Israel, that God's people would go through. And the Day of Atonement was one of the most significant ones, Yom Kippur. And so it was on this day that they would come together and they would make a sacrifice. They would sacrifice a goat, right, to have the scapegoat who would go away, that they would confess the sins of the people and it would go off into the wilderness. And then the one that they would sacrifice and then take that blood and spread it on the altar in the Holy of Holies. And it was the only time throughout the entire year that the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple where the very presence of God would dwell. And he would go through an entire kind of ceremonial cleansing in order to get into that place. And so, and the reason he would do that is he wasn't just going to deal with his own sins or someone else's sins. He would go in essence, to offer up forgiveness and atonement for all of God's people's sins. That word atonement just means covering. It's to cover over. In essence, it's to wipe away their sins. And they would do this every single year because I don't know about you, but I don't just sin once. I tend to sometimes can sin repeatedly. And so even if I try to do my best, I still find myself getting angry or getting frustrated or, right, having, you know, the wrong kinds of thoughts. And I still, like, God is still working on me. And so God's people would sin. And so they would offer up this sacrifice every single year. And you hear that and you're like, gosh, that sounds horrible. Like, why would they do that? Well, part of it was to kind of see the seriousness of sin. That sin brings death. Sin kills. It didn't just bring death to the goat, but it's killing people. It's disconnecting us. It's breaking us away from the life that God has for us. And it was helping him to see that this is how serious your sin is. So serious that something died. And he would say, well, why don't we still do that? Because what that Day of Atonement was pointing to, that there would come a day, one day, where we don't have to offer a sacrifice every single year to cover up the sins of God's people, that there was going to come a day when there would come one to be the very Lamb of God who would be sinless and perfect, who would offer up for you once and for all to deal with and to pay for your sin and my sin so that we could be atoned and covered and paid for forever. And so coming into that, I mean, that person was Jesus. I didn't want to run past that, but that's Jesus. That's why he came. That's why he died. And that's why he rose again. But around this time, God's people would fast. They would mourn. They would mourn their sin. Because they realized that because they have sinned against God, that there would be a sacrifice that would be made and that they would experience their own brokenness. So they'd go into a season of kind of not eating, of denying themselves these physical pleasures and comforts because they would feel these physical discomforts, reminding them of what sin does to do that. Because then they would end it by feasting, celebrating that their sins have been paid for, that they have been covered. And so that was kind of this regular practice that would happen. But in the New Testament, fasting didn't just take on this mourning and sadness that was kind of associated with sadness or with fasting, excuse me, but it would kind of even take on this sense of devotion, of being trying to pursue greater intimacy with God. Jesus fasted, and maybe the most notable fast that Jesus did was in Matthew 4 before he goes into the wilderness to be tempted. Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew tells us the most obvious statement here, he was hungry. He was hungry. Thanks, Matthew. I wasn't sure if he would be that hungry after not eating for 40 days, right? Like, I just got to love the simplicity of the Bible sometimes. And so what's kind of going on here? Well, Jesus, right, is coming in. He had just been baptized. And so it's kind of this anointing of his public ministry. And so now he is being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And now hearing this, if you know Bible at all, or any of the Old Testament, especially for a Jewish audience, they would hear wilderness And they would think back to Exodus, when God's people were delivered from slavery and they wandered in the wilderness. And do you remember how long they wandered in the wilderness for? Do you know how many years it was? 40. And how long did Jesus fast? 40 days. And so what we're seeing here is we're starting to see this is why Jesus was this perfect sacrifice, this perfect substitute for you and me. Because he was going to go in and be what God's people failed to do. Because they were in the wilderness, and you remember some of the things they complained about. They were hungry. They needed manna from heaven to sustain them regularly. Go back to the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. There was this daily supply of God providing for their physical needs. And then they weren't happy with that. They wanted some meat. So God provided quail for them miraculously over here. And so here's God's people, hungry, wandering in the wilderness, waiting to step and enter into this land that God had promised to them, to be in God's place, to be God's people, to live out God's purposes in their lives. So here comes Jesus into the wilderness, being tempted, and also not eating. In essence, rather than relying on physical comforts, he's connecting and communing with his Father. Do you remember the first temptation that Satan does with him? He takes him and he shows him these stones. And he says, hey, if you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into loaves of bread. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've not eaten for a day. I would turn anything into anything to eat at that moment, right? Like, this has been 40 days. Imagine what his human nature, what his body would have just been like. That would be so good. But yet, Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but the very word of God. Jesus was already full. He was full on the word. That God's word had become a source of life for him, communing with his Father. And he was like, I'm not stepping into that. You see, there were some other people who were tempted around food. Our first humans, Adam and Eve. Remember them at the garden? You can eat of anything, but just not the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And so they had a choice to listen and obey God and enjoy everything else in creation, or they can disobey God and choose to satisfy something that looked good to them. And so what they do? They gave in to that temptation. And so Jesus here again is showing us that he is, right, a better substitute, because he not only fulfilled God's purposes, but he went through temptation and did not give in, not once. He was perfect. And so fasting, Jesus is kind of teaching and showing us this idea of what does it look like to get your needs and satisfaction found in the Lord more than the comforts of this world. And I think that's probably one of the things that makes fasting very hard for us, is because we love giving in to some of our physical cravings. And not eating is one of those that's really hard to do, because it's painful and it's hard and it's difficult to do that. And so Jesus is helping modeling for his followers and for us, right? That when we're going through and we're learning how this to say no to something that our body craves, it's helping us to say yes to what our spirit is craving. I think what Jesus is showing us is that we learn to dominate our desires through discipline. That these disciplines help us to learn how to overcome these desires that we have in our lives. It teaches us how to say yes to the things of God rather than saying yes to what our bodies crave. Because we're not very good at that. I know it can be hard for me to say no to my flesh. And so we're learning how to flex those muscles, training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, say no to our flesh, so that when those moments of temptation come, you've worked that out through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to say no. Say no to those physical cravings because you're saying yes to God. Discipline's directing our desires towards something that's better. Think about this. Think about the areas in your life that maybe you want some discipline in. We talked about this in our Vice and Virtue series, where we looked at the seven deadly sins right before Easter. The last one was around gluttony. And it was really this idea of how do we not let food dominate our desires? And we could see that discipline helps us, because what we're doing is, rather than choosing to give into something that our body wants, we're choosing to say no because there's something better that we're craving and wanting. And that's the Lord. And so that can be one of the things that fasting helps teach us, is learning how to say no. But there can be a problem with fasting. We see that fasting can be an important practice, but we also need to be careful and mindful of the problem that Jesus is going to tell us. Verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they have received their reward." So what's kind of going on here is typically for these Pharisees, and what they would do in the Old Testament in particularly is when they would fast, it was usually related to mourning. And often what God's people would do as a sense of that, they would change their clothes, often wearing sackcloth. They would wear different kind of like mourning clothes. And often they would take ashes and they would kind of put those ashes on their faces or their bodies. And, you know, they would tend to not very, you know, take care of themselves, bathe themselves, right? Take, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so in essence, what he's saying is these people were fasting so that they would get kind of the approval and attention of those around them. And in essence, they would fast for really the wrong reasons. They want others to see, look at how holy I am. Look at how righteous I am. Look at what I'm doing to show my devotion to God. Are you doing that? It's kind of what's coming off with these people. And so what Jesus is warning them is saying, hey, I want you, like, it can be good to fast, but also I want you to do it for the right reasons. I don't want you to fast with the wrong motives in mind. And so what might that look like? I don't think we live in a culture that, you know, I think fasts biblically pretty regularly, or maybe even does it from a sense of self-righteousness, although that can be. I think some of the ways that we can fast wrongly is, one is we cannot fast at all. Is we can just not have that be at all a part of our spiritual life. I know this has been one for me, that fasting has not been something that has regularly been a part of my life. I mean, I couldn't even call it a practice. I've done it a couple of times. And so to me, I think that's an area for me that I have not valued this in my own life as a spiritual discipline. And so I think not fasting at all could be harmful. Because one is like we talked about, this fasting helps us develop these muscles of saying no to our physical cravings. And so I think by not even fasting at all, and let me say this, though. I get for some people, fasting may not be healthy for you. I don't just mean like because you're hungry, but I mean like, you know, you may be diabetic, or there might be things like, you know, medication that you need to take with food that it's maybe not wise for you to do that. And so seriously, I would probably, you know, talk with your, you know, physician or your medical providers and just say, hey, I'm interested in fasting. How could I do this in a way that would be healthy for me? But I think to see what that could look like, I know it just doesn't say that there are other ways that we can fast. It doesn't just have to be food, that you can fast from other things that are there. Jesus doesn't say the fasting has to be from food. It does seem that that's likely what it is, but if you want to fast from other things like, you know, social media or, you know, TV or, you know, whatever it may be in your life, coffee, you know, whatever that could be, that there can be things that you would say, hey, I'm going to say no to this in my life because I would rather devote that time, energy, and even sometimes those resources to that, to the Lord. And so it's about incorporating and learning to deny certain things for you so that you are learning to really pursue the Lord in that way. And so really what we see is kind of going on here is by not having fasting at all be a part of your spiritual life, it could maybe be not as helpful for you in growing. Another way that we could fast wrongly is we just turn fasting into dieting. Now, I think the way that most of us think about fasting is it's usually intermittent fasting, and it's connected with dieting and losing weight. And while you are more than welcome to do that, if that's something that you do and you have in your life, that's fantastic. But I would just caution you, that's not necessarily just biblical fasting. Because what's the motivation for why you're doing it? It's likely because you want to, you know, lose some weight. And so to sit there and to think about, if we just view fasting as a way that we could manage our weight and lose weight, then we're not doing it from the right motives that are there. Now, if you want to do that as a part of that, it's fantastic. But I would want to encourage you to maybe think about what would it look like to utilize fasting as primarily a way for you to increase your hunger for the Lord, to help you pursue him in those moments, in those times. You know, and so that could be a way that we just purely look at fasting as a way of dieting. I think one is we never fast from food. I mentioned earlier that you can fast from other things, but if you're able to, that sometimes we can maybe make it easier on us and say, well, I'll just give this thing up in my life. But we never really fast from food. And I would just want to challenge you that maybe a way for you to do that is to see if you're healthy enough to give up some things. Maybe it's one meal a day. You know, you start there. Or maybe it's, you know, two meals, or it's just one day, whatever that may look like. Now, don't take, if you're like, I don't eat breakfast, don't choose that one because you're already doing it, right? I wouldn't say that counts, okay? We don't want to cheat the system here, okay? But to think about what might it look like to incorporate fasting from food into your fasting. And I think the last way we can do it wrongly is what Jesus really addresses is this sense of becoming self-righteous in our fasting. That somehow we think that in our fasting it makes us, makes God love us more. That God looks at it and we feel more spiritually superior than those who don't. That it can be tempting that we could take disciplines and spiritual disciplines and formations and we start to elevate ourselves and we start to look down on others. Or what we can do is we could kind of have this God, you owe me kind of mentality. Like, look at how serious what I'm doing for you, God. Why aren't you doing this for me? That sometimes we can go into fasting and maybe we're expecting God to do something for us in that way. And if it doesn't show up in our way, then we're kind of like, God, look at what I did for you. Why didn't you? And so it's this kind of like, because I did, you owe me. That can be the wrong spirit behind that. But rather than doing it as a sense of, God, I want to fast because I love you. That we fast because we love God and we want to love him more, not so he'll love us more. That's legalism and self-righteousness. That's not what it means to walk with Jesus. We want to walk in these spiritual disciplines because we love the Lord, not so he'll love us more. And so those are some ways we can view fasting wrong, and that's a way it can become a problem for us. Let's see clearly what the point of fasting is. Verse 17 and 18, but when you fast, again, he says that again, anoint your head and wash your face. Again, he's saying, hey, take care of yourself. You don't need to put it all on display. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, at the beginning of Matthew 6, the warning Jesus gives his followers, he says, don't practice your righteousness in front of others. Because that was what was going on. The people that were maybe looked at as like the most kind of the most religious that you would see is like, man, these are the Pharisees at that time, like they had memorized, you're like, man, those are people, they're like varsity when it comes to their faith. And I'm like JV or like in high school. Like it's just not even in that category that's there. And so what Jesus is saying, don't go about practicing your walk with him. Don't practice your righteousness, trying to live rightly with God and do that so that you're trying to impress everyone around you with it. He says, rather, instead, make your spiritual disciplines and your habits to be about your relationship with God. That you're practicing it doesn't matter if anybody sees it or knows about it. Right? It's like you can go online, Instagram or whatever, you see people there, you know, got the beautiful Bible and, you know, the coffee and just the right lighting. And it's like, you know, you got the scripture verse that's there. Now, you may be genuinely doing that, but sometimes it's like, hey, I want others to see that I'm reading my Bibles here. Right? And so he's saying, just be careful. Be careful with your heart, your motivation for why you're doing that. Because we can get to the point that we want others to see how righteous we are rather than really the point of the whole goal of fasting is to say, God, I want you to see it. I'm doing this for you, Lord, because I love you. Doesn't matter what happens from this is I'm trying to just connect with you. I want to draw closer to you. I want to hunger more for you than the things of this world. One quote I found while looking at this, it says, disciples fast in order to nourish their hunger for God and to diminish their hunger for the world. It's like these disciples are learning how to nourish their hunger for the Lord. And so by saying no, and they're getting these physical cravings, they're saying, God, I want to crave you and your kingdom and your will more than the things of this world that I find myself craving after. That by fasting, I'm putting in this discipline to help me to get those needs met and satisfied from you and your word. We fast because one day we'll be able to feast. Jesus, in addressing fasting in Matthew 9, said these words. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. They were wondering, Jesus, why don't you and your disciples fast like John's? And Jesus says, it's because we're at a wedding celebration right now. He took a wedding, and if you've ever been to a wedding, it's fun. There's laughing, there's dancing, there's eating food, there's feasting and celebration. And Jesus is like the king is here. I'm here, I'm walking. I'm pushing back darkness. I'm bringing my kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's through the life and ministry of Jesus. He's saying it's here. So we don't need to mourn. There's no sadness because we're celebrating because I'm here. But one day I'm going to ascend and I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to go back to be with my Father. And there'll be a time where I'm waiting to return. It's like then you can fast because the bridegroom is away. But he is coming back. And the reason why we fast now is because we're reminding ourselves that this world isn't yet it's not our home. We've got a heavenly home that one day our king is going to come and bring his kingdom here that we are ultimately living for. And so until that day, we live in a world where there's sin and where there's sickness and where there's broken and where there's devastation and a mess in our lives and around us. And we fast, reminding ourselves that we still give in to temptation, that we still feed our fleshly desires rather than feeding our physical or our spiritual desires, and that Christ has not yet come back yet, and we are waiting for that. David Platt, in talking about this, he's a pastor on this, he said, those who celebrate the ascension of the king now crave the consummation of the kingdom. We fast and we pray and we crave the day when what we have tasted and seen in Christ will be complete. We fast because what you have tasted and seen in Christ, you crave for that one day to be fully and finally satisfied in Him. That there will come a day where we will not fast anymore because sickness and sin and death and destruction will be gone forever. God will wipe away every tear, and He will make all things new, including you and me. And in those days, we will feast for all eternity with God's people and the presence of our King. For anyone and everyone who's put their faith and their trust in Jesus, that is what awaits us. And so until that day comes, we kind of incorporate this fasting practice in our lives. So a couple of just questions for us to ponder. And what this might look like is, one is, how could you incorporate the practice of fasting in your life? What step might it look like for you to take to say, how could I incorporate this rhythm of fasting in my life? Now, like I said, maybe it's starting with, maybe there's a meal once a day, like once a week or once a month or once a quarter or a couple times a year. Maybe it's going longer. You know, maybe it's starting out as I'll fast once a month. Maybe it's, you know, whatever that may look. But what might it look like for you to incorporate that? Maybe it's, if food is, it's not healthy and safe for you to do that, maybe it's, how do I incorporate some fasting in some other areas of my life? And I feel like I need to say this out there. Sin, we don't fast from sin. Like, it's not like, I'm going to stop this sin. It's like, you should stop that anyways. Like, I feel like I want to say that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop looking at pornography or, you know, whatever it may be. It's like, yes, you don't fast from that. You don't sin. You try not to do that. These are things in our lives that we want to deny because we want to increase our hunger for the Lord. So how could you incorporate fasting? Are there circumstances in your life that would lead you to fast? See, what would often happen is some circumstances that would be difficult and painful and hard. And so there'd be mourning and there'd be sadness. And the way that they would try to do that is say, Lord, I'm really needing you in this moment, in this season. So I want to fast and depend upon you. Or perhaps maybe there's a devotion. Maybe there's a sense that, hey, God, like, I feel like I've been a little lukewarm. My passion for you has been lacking. And so perhaps maybe to increase my devotion and passion and hunger for you, God, is I want to fast. Perhaps maybe there's some important decisions in front of you. Work or vocation or relationships, and you say, hey, I want to fast and pray and ask for God's wisdom and leadership in this way, in this moment. Are there just circumstances that would say, hey, this might be an opportunity for you to practice fasting and see how the Lord may draw near in that time and what He might do in your life? The last question is what are you hungering for more than Jesus? You see, remember, we fast because we want to hunger for God more than hunger for food. You see, what can end up happening is we can hunger for the things in this world more than we hunger for the Lord. And so just a moment, I'm going to pray. And maybe what I want to ask you is to maybe just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. To say, is there anything that I'm hungering and craving and desiring more than you, God? And to listen and see what he says to you. And in that moment, that's an opportunity for you and I to confess that to him. We're going to sing a song in a moment that says, I surrender all. And it's this reminder that we surrender everything before our King. We lay it all at his feet. And to be able to say, God, if there are things that I'm craving and desiring more than you, I want to confess that to you. Because I'm sinning against you, God. Because I'm putting something else as more important in my life than you. And God, I want you to satisfy the longings in my soul. It's like when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. All who come to me, right, will never thirst, will never be left empty and lacking, that we will be fully and finally satisfied in him. And that's what he came to do, to provide for you and me. It's not just forgiveness of our sins, but to satisfy the cravings of our souls that we try to fill with whatever we can from this world, finding that it's lacking. And so that's the good news. That's what we get to celebrate and remind ourselves of. That's the gospel of what Jesus provides for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you because so often, God, we are craving, we find ourselves craving the things of this world more than we crave you. And God, I thank you for the example Jesus provides us, that he shows us, that he showed us what it looks like to say no to the things of this world, to say no to our flesh, so that we could say yes, God, to you, say yes to your spirit. And so, God, right now, if there's anything in my life or in anyone who's listening right now, God, that you would remind them and you would speak to them and say, this is what you're craving more than me. This is what you're desiring for more than me. And God, may we confess that to you, laying that at your feet, surrendering that before you, God, knowing that Jesus on the cross, you paid for it. That you want, rather than us going to that thing, that relationship, whatever that may be, God, that instead we would come to you and say, God, would you satisfy this craving? And in the gospel, through our faith and belief and trust in you, Jesus, you fill that up in our hearts. So, God, I pray, Lord, that we would long for the day when we will feast in eternity with you. But until that day, God, may we look at how we can incorporate fasting more regularly in our lives, God. Not so you'll love us more, God, but because we love you. We want to deepen our devotion to you. And so, God, we ask and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.